Good afternoon. This is Nevin Campanella welcoming you to the BBS production of Woodland Star, your net radio source for entertainment and coincidental enlightenment. What kind of enlightenment do I have for all the audience this evening? Well, how about this? I just got enlightened a few minutes ago on Huckabee. You know Huckabee, running for prez. Well, this guy comes up out of nowhere, doesn't have 10 cents in his pocket, and manages to surge ahead. Now, I was under the impression that the great surge that Huckabee managed to pull was due to his statement about banishing, getting rid of the IRS. And everybody else kept saying, no, it's got to do with this whole evangelical thing of his. You know, he's a past minister and so on and so forth. Well, I kind of poo-pooed that. I really thought it was the IRS. But I got to tell you, folks, I got to take that back. I really don't think it had anything to do with the IRS. I really do believe it had something to do with the religious aspect, which is kind of sad. I'm talking about religion and politics right here on Woodland Star. I can hardly believe it, but I got to get this out. Why am I changing my mind about this? Well, first of all, I just saw the most fascinating little blurb on Huckabee. He very much was involved with give me that old-time religion. Remember that? The old-time religion guy. Boy, was he old-time religion. It just comes out, and this, by the way, folks, is on Fox News, you know, the news station for the Republican Party. On Fox News, what they're reporting is a statement by Huckabee. You're going to love this. Ladies, pay attention. This is from Huckabee. You want to vote for him, ladies? Here's what he says. A wife will submit to her husband just as the husband will submit to the Lord. Guess what, ladies? Yeah, Jill is giving me the downside. I think that if we were in Rome right now, that would mean off with his head. The guy is really, really in tune with, give me that old-time religion. Well, that old-time religion is going to kick him right in the ass. People aren't that stupid. They're not going to fall for it. And you're probably going to find, over time, a lot more is going to come out about Mr. Huckabee. Now, is he a pleasant man? Most certainly. Every time I see him on television, you know, he looks like a nice guy. But this is a biggie. If he were president of the United States, what kind of policies, procedures, executive orders would be coming out of the White House? I'm afraid he would make an attempt to dismantle the Constitution. Look, folks, I have no idea of who I'm going to vote for. I mean, the election is a year away. I have absolutely no idea. But I know right now who I will not vote for. Huckabee's at the top of the list. He's off the list. Well, anybody else off the list? Yeah, Hillary Clinton. Why? Well, you know, whereas Huckabee is that old-time religion, Hillary Clinton is that old-time politics, more of the same. She's not a very, I don't know, charismatic person. I think she kind of turns people off. Her personality is such that she kind of comes across aloof, hard, so on and so forth. I don't know if she takes lessons at practicing being queen bitch of the universe, but that's how she appears. She gives that appearance. So she's off the list. I really don't want Bill Clinton running the government again, because that's what would happen. I mean, you know, maybe she would make a few decisions, he'd make a few decisions. You would never know who the hell was running the country. But do you really want that old-time politics? So those are two people off my list. I will not vote for Hillary Clinton, and for sure I would not vote for Huckabee. And both for the same, almost same reason, old time. Maybe give me that old time religion and old time politics. Well, they can have it. This country doesn't need any more of that crap. I don't need it, and you don't need it. Hey, guess what? Guess what I've been digging into? You know, every once in a while, I go to the store, I put my hand in my pocket to pay for an item, and the damn thing always seems to be costing a little bit more and a little bit more. But the government, you know, the government keeps telling me, no, it's not that bad. There's no real inflation. So I decided to poke around a little bit. Well, I'm not big on accounting and accounting procedures. I dug into the CPI, Consumer Price Index. Now, I don't claim to be the smartest guy on the planet, but I guarantee I'm not the dumbest. But the CPI had to be put together, the algorithm for it, it had to be put together by lunatics. It doesn't tell you anything. I mean, what they did was they ripened the algorithm, okay, so that they could actually structure what the index might show over time. And it's going to show somewhere between 0.5 and 1.5. That's what's going to happen. I don't care what goes on in the world. That's where that index is going to wind up. It's not worth a damn. So I thought, man, there's got to be a better way of taking a look at prices over time, you know? I mean, is there really inflation? Are we in a recession? What's going on? Well, anybody could have said to me, hey, Nev, have you paid for a gallon of gasoline lately? So I decided, okay, I gotta find some figures that try to demonstrate what has really been going on. I did try it with bread, you know, some basic commodities. Well, you try to find the price of these things over time, say for the last 25 to 50 years. You can come up with the prices occasionally. And do you know how a lot of people do it when they're putting stuff like this together? They go through old newspapers and look at what the hell the cost was, like for a loaf of bread, so on and so forth. Amazing, huh? I did come up. I actually found a historical gas price for gasoline from 1950 to the year 2007. Now, if you go to the TNT message board, you will see this list of prices, and it's the title of it is FYI, for your information. Yeah, I didn't want to put down gas prices and all that stuff. I got to be honest with you folks, the titles on the TNT board are amazingly too long. I get tired of reading by the time I get finished reading the title, I don't even want to read the article. So I'm going to start trying to convince people, please make shorter titles. We don't need to know the color of the socks that your nephew was wearing when you read the article. Well, historical gas prices, what is so amazing about what I found, and I don't know how it was done, but they actually made a backward adjustment for inflation. So, for instance, if you go to the 1950, using adjusted for inflation, it would have been $1.91. In other words, in today's money, that's what you would have paid for a gallon of gas in 1950, $1.91. So now I'm going to go down this list. It's kind of interesting. because it does demonstrate some major fluctuations. Maybe history, or some of you history buffs out there, might be able to explain why some of these things occur. 1950, $1.91. 1955, $1.85. So it goes down. Went down 6 cents. 1960, $1.79. 1965, $1.68. Damn, things going down. 1970, $1.59. Now, 1975, it jumps to $1.80. In 1970, it was $1.59. In 1975, it's $1.80. Well, as you will recall, that's when all the sheiks in the Middle East got together and said, boy, we're going to stick it to you. And the price per barrel went up. The oil cartels manifested themselves. They had a hell of a time. Around 1973, I mean, it was hell on wheels. Nobody knew what to do. I can remember a little bit of rationing went on. You know, you got gassed by the last numbers on your license plate, whether it was an even number, an odd number, that kind of thing. Waiting in line, people actually getting into fights at gas stations. I mean, it was bad. So, the beginning of the oil cartel, you go from 1970, $1.59 to 1975, $1.80. Understandable. Oil cartel jumps in, right? Now, please, all you history buffs out there, explain what happens over the next 5 years. Because from 1975 to 1980, that damn gas jumps from $1.80 a gallon in 1975 to $2.59 in 1980. What happened? I have no idea. And again, remember, you're getting figures based on what you would be paying for it in today's money, all right? Because, tell you the truth, the actual cost of a gallon of gasoline around 1960, 1961, it was about 24 cents a gallon. Wouldn't you love to be paying that today? Yeah, right. 1985, $1.90. Goes down a little bit. 1990, $1.51, 1995, $1.28, and now we make another jump. 1995 to the year 2001, the damn thing goes from $1.28 to $1.66. 2002, $1.31. 2003, $1.52. 2004, $1.79. 2005, $2.28. 2006, $3.03, and here we are in 2007. So far, adjusted for inflation, the cost of gasoline is $3.26. So, from 1950 to 2007, we went from $1.91 to $3.26. That looks like real figures to me, folks. Not that crazy CPI crap. And those figures adjusted for inflation, it shows me that just in the past year alone, from 2006, where it was $3.03 a gallon, to 2007, where it is now $3.26 a gallon, we made a hell of a jump, 23 cents a gallon. That's called inflation. It is called inflation. That's what it is. Also want to make note that the largest jump to ever have occurred is, in fact, from 2004 to 2007, in the past 3 years. So, if there's some screwball out there trying to convince you, oh no, everything is okay at the farm, you tell them they're full of crap. Inflation is here. Now, will recession come? God, folks, I don't have a clue. However, there are some things on the horizon that look really spooky. And I mean spooky. We're talking about the mortgage meltdown. Mortgage meltdown. Okay, now what does that mean? Now remember, I just told you that the price of gasoline is going up. But on a mortgage meltdown situation, what in fact is happening is the value of homes is dropping. Yeah, the value of the homes themselves is actually going down. Gas is going up, value of homes is going down. Hell of a dilemma. Because the people who owe money on the homes are now paying at an interest rate on an original price. They're not paying it on what the price is worth today, but what they purchased it at. This has a tendency to make accountants really anxious, especially bank accountants. Not to mention the balloon payments that are about to come buzzing across this country, sometime probably while I'm on the road to Alabama, which I'm going to talk about in a couple of minutes. Yeah, sometime in April, I think we're going to see the ballooning, and we're going to see a lot of sad middle-class people. Anyway, do we have inflation? We most certainly do. Do we have recession? Well, I'll give you my best guess. I don't think we have it yet, but I think it is on our doorstep. I really, really believe that. Terrible situation. Absolutely terrible. Where to next? Let me get to the future of Woodland Star Radio. Well, I don't know how much of a future it has because I don't know how much of a future I have with radio. The simple fact is that sometime in mid-April, as a matter of fact, I think it's April 13th, Jill and I are going to be hauling our trailer back east to Prattville, Alabama. Why Alabama? Well, I have most of my relatives live somewhere between Alabama and Florida. And for a variety of reasons, one of which is it's a lot warmer there, we are going to make the big journey and move. What does it say about my status with the net and everything else? To tell you the truth, I don't know. I don't have a clue. It's not like I have a system set up that I know I can predict from one end to the other. I really don't know. And I've already discussed this with BBS management. They know that this is coming. So it is quite possible that the end of Woodland Star may occur sometime in mid-April. Now, between now and then, what do I intend to do? Anybody who's listening that knows me knows that I have spent a lot of time on the radio interviewing people. And I'm a damn good interviewer. I know I am. And I'm a damn good radio broadcaster. But I gotta tell you, I'm getting a little bit tired of doing the interviews. I really am. Not that they're not interesting, okay? They are. I mean, they are interesting. But you know, after you keep doing the interviews over and over and over again, after a while, you start running a little dry. And I guess that's how I'm feeling. Anyway, there will be one more interview for sure, and that will be with Amy Sturgis. Now, Dr. Sturgis, this will be in January, on January 6th. She's a literary expert, and she teaches at, forgive me, I can't remember where, one of the Eastern universities, but she is an expert on Tolkien. And so it ought to be a grand, grand afternoon with Amy discussing Tolkien. Tolkien is without a doubt my most favorite author. I have no idea of how many sets of Tolkien books I have purchased. I first read Tolkien in 1961. And I would buy, you know, the trilogy, the set. Then I would read and reread until the pages yellowed and fell out of the book. And I would buy more sets, and people would buy me sets. I mean, I love the whole trilogy story. I really do. However, I certainly wasn't crazy about the movies. You know, it's unfortunate. We live now in a world where a lot of people, especially young people, just plain don't read. I'm not saying the movies were bad. I'm not. But believe me, they don't compare to the book. If you were excited about the trilogy in the movies, let me tell you, if you read the books, you'd have an orgasm. Yeah, I'm telling you, folks, the books are so much more, so much more. You know, and you've heard it before. Oh, well, they can't always put everything in the movie that they do in the book. Well, the SOB left out Tom Bombadil. How the hell can you make a movie about the Hobbits and not talk about Tom Bombadil? As far as I'm concerned, give him the Donkey Award for the year. Let me get off my soapbox. What am I going to do? Well, if I don't have guests, I'll probably do a lot of topic discussion and probably spend a lot of time kind of updating on the TNT message board. In other words, Woodland Star will be hosting TNT Radio Hour. It won't always be directly from the TNT board. No, not at all. I like to fish around a little bit. As, for instance, on the gas prices. Now I'm going to quote. Consumer inflation surged by the largest amount in more than 2 years in November, led by none other than our old friend, gasoline prices. The cost of clothing, airline tickets, and prescription drugs also jumped. The Labor Department said it closely watched the CPI, which rose 0.8% last month. Now, folks, that's the biggest one-month increase since 1.2% surge in September of 2005. And the reason that that occurred in 2005, this is what they claim, it was due to the rising energy costs in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. Now, apparently, that had a lot to do with it. I have no idea. But again, if you're going to use a CPI to try to determine inflation, you're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. It ain't going to work. You'll never see a real consumer price index coming out of the government. You're going to have to do it for yourself. It's going to have to be an intuitive process. How much more are you paying for gasoline? How much more are you paying for clothing? How much more are you paying for prescription drugs? How much more are you paying to go to the doctor's office? I'm getting a strange squeaking in my ear, some sort of feedback. I don't know what it is.
We have a caller.
Okay, we have a caller on the line. Hello, who's calling?
Hi, Nev. This is Mark from Albuquerque.
Mark from Albuquerque. How you doing? Mark, have I spoken to you before?
Once. I called into your show once.
Yes, I remember Mark from Albuquerque. Go ahead, Mark. What have you got for us today?
Well, first, I want to agree with you about Tom Bombadil.
Oh!
You're the first one I've heard say that.
I'm so glad there's another aficionado out there that is as upset as I am over that damn movie without Tom Bombadil.
Right. That's the stage. That's the stage for the rest of the adventure.
Well, how are things going for you in Albuquerque?
That's wonderful. It's wonderful here. We have been blessed with not getting hit with all these storms, just touches of them, and so it's been very nice, very nice.
Well, I'm surprised. You know, Mark, I used to live in, do you know where, by interest, do you know where Glenwood is?
Sure do.
Okay, I live 5 miles north of Glenwood in a little hamlet called Alma up in the Gila National Forest, and I lived there for 8 years. And we were going to Albuquerque every once in a while, and I got to tell you, I always thought Albuquerque was kind of cold in winter compared to even where I lived up in the mountains in Alma. But you say that it's not so bad right now, huh?
Well, I mean, we have the cold, but it is December, but it took until the beginning of December to get there. The leaves hadn't fallen off the trees until we got our freeze, and it was like the 3rd of December, and they all fell at one time.
Oh, wow. Well, then you have been blessed with some nice weather. I haven't been so blessed here up in northern Utah. Right. Was that your major reason for calling me today, Mark, was to tell me about Tom, or you got some more for us?
Well, you know, you're talking about the Consumer Price Index, and one of the things that the Bush administration did was remove energy and food from the Consumer Price Index. And as you've been saying, as you've been saying, it's obvious that there's inflation, but they, because they don't include those numbers, they can honestly say, no, there is no inflation, but it's not honest. Because
no, it's not honest at all. It's trickery. I mean, if you don't include food and energy, how the hell can you call it a consumer price index? I mean, it's not
right.
Like I go out and buy yachts. You know, for most of us, it comes down to some basic stuff. You know, we go to Walmart and buy some food, and we had to put gas in the car to get over there, and once in a while we pick up a pair of jeans. Now, in those three items, that's probably the most real consumer price index there is. And I can't imagine why. Well, of course I can. I mean, the Bush administration. Well, wait a minute. You know, Mark, I got to say this. It is not just the Bush administration, and believe me, I'm no follower of George Bush, but he alone, you know, he's not responsible for the crap that we're in, because these same kinds of stunts are pulled by everybody that ever gets into the White House and everybody who ever gets into Congress. I mean, out of all of them, if you take Washington, D.C. as a whole, is there anybody there you trust?
No.
Well,
yeah, one person.
Who?
And that person is running for president, but he doesn't get any airplay. And that's Dennis Kucinich.
Who?
Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich has been the only person that has been a servant of the people his whole career. And you know, I'm not here to talk about Dennis, really, you know. And I don't blame I don't blame everything on the Bush administration either. You're absolutely correct. It's just, I just pointed out that during this administration, those two key indicators of inflation were taken off the consumer price index. And I know this because I follow it. Because I was elected union official for one time, so when we did negotiations, of course we negotiated COLAs, which is cost of living allowance, which are based on the consumer price index. And when the consumer price index only shows 0.5%, what kind of cost of living allowance will someone that's tied to that get, which is nothing.
Yeah,
basically.
Well, wait, but you know, even though you didn't call to discuss the presidential candidate, I would like you to tell us a little bit about your favorite person. Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, my favorite person, and the person that I will vote for no matter what political party he may be affiliated with, is Dennis Kucinich. And the reason is, he has always, from the time he started his career in public service, always been the person who did what was right and what the people wanted to be done. He did not play politics. He didn't take big corporate money. As mayor of Cleveland, he went against the banks who wanted to buy the electric company and said, no, we're not going to sell it, which basically made him look so bad because they couldn't get, the debts were called for $15 million for a city the size of Cleveland. Okay? Imagine that. Okay? Well, no, that was just a power play by the banks because they had a vested interest because they had a hand in wanting to buy the electric company. And it came many, many years later where the city council honored him and said, you were did so much better. You saved billions for the taxpayers by doing that.
Why is he having so much trouble getting any notoriety for what he's attempting to do in the way of running for president? I only see him once in a while.
Well, who owns the meat? You know, why do you have internet radio to get the truth out? Because the corporate media won't allow him the time. Even on, I would say that almost every debate he was in where they had a poll, he won the internet polls, but they discounted it. And in one case, they threw it out and started a new one. And when he won that, they just took it off the website. And this is MSNBC, CNN, all the big corporate media people. They are not, Go ahead.
Who do you think will actually win the election?
Who do I think will win? Unfortunately, yeah. It'll be Hillary Clinton.
You really believe Hillary Clinton is going to win?
She will be declared the winner of the election.
Now, wait a minute. Majority here, or you're talking about she's actually going to become president of the U.S.?
The second one.
She's actually going to become president of the United States?
Yes.
Wow.
Because she is part of
That would be
old
really
politics.
Bad. But
she's the old politics.
Wow.
I don't know how much, you know, she is also a court, you know, just about every candidate except, I think, Barack Obama and Dennis Kucinich are members of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is part of this system that is in place that doesn't care about the Constitution. You got to realize that. You know that everybody that is in public office swears to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. And if you ever hear a politician say, "I took an oath to protect and defend the people of the United States," sorry, no, you didn't. You never did. And if that's what you meant, shame on you. You were sworn to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, they may add things after that, but I know I swore an oath when I went in the Army. That's the oath I swore. That's the first part of the oath. Now, it goes on, and we'll follow the orders of the Commander-in-Chief and Grand Poobah. Well, I don't care about that. The first part is the part that matters.
It seems like the Constitution is being shredded on a daily basis. But I think what amazes me, Mark, is that there seems to be damn few people who actually are aware of what's happening. Or everybody's walking around in some sort of coma state. I mean, between the things that Bush does and the lying and the Patriot Act and everything else, it seems our rights are just being torn away on a daily basis. But nobody seems to react.
Well, they don't react because they are asleep. They are in a coma. And the majority of people are in a coma. And it's induced. It's induced by television. It's induced by newspapers. It's induced by the media and by what people have been taught throughout their lives.
What
most people forget is they're human beings.
Yeah.
That's the basic thing. They forget what it means to be a human being.
Well, you know what? They also forgot what this country was based on. You know, I mean, the founding fathers have got to be turning over in their grave if they saw all these marshmallows walking around voting for people like Hillary Clinton or George Bush. Listen, Mark, I got to get you off the air. I got to get on to some other stuff, but I really appreciate you calling.
Hey, Nev, just let you know I'm out here listening, and there's plenty of others, and you keep up the good work because you are doing the good work, my friend.
Thank you so much, and good evening to you, Mark.
Good evening.
Well, folks, you heard from Mark, a gentleman in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I got to tell you, I love New Mexico. I mean, I really love New Mexico. I miss New Mexico. We spent almost 8 years in that Gila National Forest, and all I can say is it was grand. Coming up to northern Utah for, Jill had a variety of medical problems, so on and so forth. But now we're going to a new spot, and by the way, I have a nephew who is buying a horse ranch, and so Jill and I will be living on a horse ranch in Prattville, Alabama. I don't know if we're going to be sipping mint juleps. I suspect I'll be shoveling you-know-what. Anyway, let me get on to some of the rest of tonight's show. I got a lot of notes. I don't know how far down I'll get. Talk about presidents. I want to talk about one more. Because it's a bit of an enigma to me. Lou Dobbs. I tried to listen to all the news, you know, and I want a little advice here, folks. No matter who you are for, whoever your candidate is, please make sure you get yourself a balanced view of everything. Look at CNN. Look at Fox News. Listen to Lou Dobbs. Listen to Bill O'Reilly. Why? You need all the input. You know, we're all biased, every one of us. But you want to know who the hell the enemy is and what they're doing. And the only way to do that is you've got to try to look at all of it. Now, how important is it to you? Well, quite truthfully, it's not all that important. When I go across the street over to Walmart, you know, to buy a thing of tofu, it really isn't. But it may be for my grandchildren. I haven't taken an interest in politics since Jimmy Carter was in office. And I voted for the SOB. And after I voted for him, he gave away the Panama Canal. That's when I said to hell with politics. But I'm back in now, and I'm taking an active interest because, folks, I'm a little frightened of what's happening. I'm starting to believe, and I'm no conspiracy theorist, I'm starting to believe that we could, at some point, lose the Constitution. Lou Dobbs, back to him. Why him? You know, there's a lot of things that Lou Dobbs says that I do agree with. They're especially these free trade agreements that are seem to be so one-sided. China gets everything, we get jack shit. Lou, there's a number of people on the net, a number of groups, who are pushing for Lou Dobbs to run for president. I don't know what kind of president he would make. I have no idea. You know, there's a big difference between saying something on a microphone like I am right now and actually having to perform. Believe me, you sure as hell wouldn't want me for president of the United States. The country would be in a turmoil within 10 minutes. But Lou Dobbs for president, will he run for president? People kept asking him that. And he never actually said, no, I am not. He would say things, well, you know, I'm quite comfortable here, and I want the CNN bosses to know that I'm not going anywhere. But, you know, things do change, that kind of attitude. So I'm wondering, is he waiting for the primaries to be over? Kind of like the mayor of New York, who I think is going to jump in the race. Bloomberg will jump in the race. But he's smart. He's going to wait for the primaries to be over. Will Lou Dobbs do it? Geez, I don't know. It's really weird. If Lou Dobbs, you know, people talk about the Lou Dobbs voter. It probably would be a better situation if Lou Dobbs would throw his weight towards a particular candidate. If he does, I'll make a prediction for you. If Lou Dobbs were ever to make a public announcement, which I don't think he would, but if he did, he probably would throw his weight to Ron Paul. I think so. And I think, you know, if you go through enough of this material, after a while you start making connections, you know, connect the dots. Believe me, there's some dots between Lou Dobbs and Ron Paul. Let's get out of politics for a little bit. I don't have that. My God, I'm taking up all this time on politics, and there's so many other things I want to cover. Global warming. I really want to get into that. Right now, I'm sitting in my semi-office. My office is about 2 foot by 2 foot, and I'm looking for a book. Here it is, Michael Creighton. State of Fear is the name of this book. State of Fear. You know, folks, prior to reading this book, I, like most of you, just kind of accepted the concept of global warming. Yeah, that the planet is warming up. Let me tell you, Michael Creighton wrote the book. It's a story. It's a fiction book, but it's all based on real data. And he demonstrates the data right in the book. I mean, there are graphs, and you can, you yourself can go find these graphs. Well, is the planet heating up? I got to tell you, as I go through the material that he presents in the book, the graphs and everything else, no, it's not heating up. I mean, there's some real chicanery going on in terms of what's being presented in terms of data. And I should be ashamed of myself. I have a pretty good background in stat, and I never really thought about it before. If you want to show a rise in something or a decline in something, simply push the back end of the graph, either back further or further up ahead. In other words, if I want to show a rise in temperature, for instance, in Boulder, Colorado, I'll pick a year and start there. If it happens to be lower than what I am right now, that would be a good starting point. But if in that particular year it's higher than it is right now, it wouldn't be a good starting point, would it? So I'd go back a little bit further until I found one that was higher. That is how an awful lot of this data is manipulated. Is the globe warming up? Some interesting information. As you start looking at global warming, you find out that the temperatures that they're collecting from the stations years ago, for instance, were collected in a rural area. But as time progressed, the station didn't move. Things grew up around the station like a city. So the station is now taking the temperature of an urban island. Urban areas are warmer than rural areas. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Cement and asphalt hold heat. So the area where the temperature is taken makes a big difference. So you're going to take the, are you going to start taking average temperatures in Death Valley, or are you going to take it in downtown New York? It makes a difference. Let me tell you, as you start looking at this data and how the graphs are put together, what you start to conclude is that you really can't demonstrate whether the temperature's gone up or down. It's hard to make a case in either direction. It really is. It's hard to make a case, has it changed? Because of what we're using in the way of measurement. Is the planet warming up? Let me tell you. In terms of the data and the way they're collecting it and what they're using, I would have to say no. Not according to the measurements they're using, because the measurements are too screwy. They're extremely unreliable. Now, they do put some, what they call the fudge factor in the equation, which is interesting in itself. In other words, they know that over time the cities grow, there's a certain amount of heat coming from them, so they compensate in their final analysis for that. Now, one of the methods that had been used, this is really dumb. I mean, this is really dumb. What they did was they put in population as a factor. In other words, if you're going to compensate for heat rising in an area, well, the more population you have, the more heat, right? Because the bigger the city is, correct? Wrong. That's what they did, but it doesn't make any sense. Because there, in fact, are cities around the world like Vienna, which have had almost no population increase, but doubled its size in terms of the city itself. In other words, they got a lot more cement, but no more people. So you can't use just population. Now, I'm ranting and raving here about global warming, but all I'm really trying to point out is that what I had believed about global warming is based on some pretty fuzzy information. and it remains to be fuzzy. Is the planet warming up? I think it is. But I probably would have to say not due to carbon dioxide. You know, for the greenhouse effect. From what I've seen so far, I'd have to say no. But again, I'm using the same data and the same information as everyone else to arrive at these conclusions. So it's kind of like really iffy. My God, I only got 10 minutes to go here. Boy, I sure do run in the mouth, don't I, Don? I mean, I get onto something. Let me get off of Michael Crichton and our doomsday scenario of global warming. Hey, you want to see a movie? You want to get really excited? Go see The Bourne Ultimatum. Oh, my God, what a movie. It's the sequel to The Bourne Supremacy. I think it's the third film in the entire trilogy. Now, I have seen both prior movies. Both prior movies were really good, but this blows them all away. I mean, this movie about Jason Bourne is really good. It is exciting. I mean, action-packed beyond belief. You know, if you want to sit down and eat a lot of popcorn and drink a lot of soda pop and get really excited about what's going on the screen, this is it. The Bourne Supremacy. I'm telling you, if you're a movie buff of action movies, you are not going to be disappointed. You're really going to like it. Now, there's another reason why I like this movie. Yeah, there's always another reason, isn't there? And her name is Joan Allen. You know, remember she was in the second movie? She is now again in the Bourne Ultimatum. I think she's great. I really like Joan Allen. I think she's a fantastic actor. Now, I did not know of Joan Allen until I encountered her in one of my most favorite movies. You'll never guess what it is. Oh, maybe you would. Pleasantville. It was made in, or it was released, I think in the fall of 1998. And guess who's in it? Your favorite Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire. What a movie. I was really, really surprised by that movie. I used to see the trailers for it and thought, well, you know, I don't know, look kind of hokey in terms of the trailer. But one day, Jill said, oh, let's get it. I fell in love with the movie. Unfortunately, when I actually purchased a copy of it, I purchased it while we were still using the old VCR, the tapes and stuff. Well, I gave all my tapes away in favor of maintaining discs, so I no longer have a copy of my most favorite movie, Pleasantville. But that's where I first encountered Joan Allen. And she was just fantastic in that movie. I mean, she was so cool. And I gotta tell you, I think Tobey Maguire probably really caught the attention of Hollywood in that movie. I think that's what did it for him. Very, very cool. On the same day that we saw the Bourne Ultimatum, we also rented the Harry Potter movie, the new one, Order of the Phoenix. Now, we didn't watch both the Bourne and the Harry Potter movie on the same day. We saved the Harry Potter movie for the next day, which, by the way, the Harry Potter movie, Order of the Phoenix, is quite long. So if you're going to watch it, be prepared for a really long movie, okay? I think it's something like 2 hours and 15 minutes, something like that. Well, I have seen all the Harry Potter movies. Am I impressed? Nah, I'm really not. Yawn, yawn. That would be my reaction. I got bored with it. Now, I'm not saying that it wasn't a good movie. It certainly had a lot of action involved, you know, classic Harry Potter flying around on a broomstick kind of thing. Great special effects. Why then was I bored? I don't know. I mean, after a while, you kind of get tired of watching this, you're not quite a teenager anymore. He's starting to get hair on his face. Harry Potter, you know, running around with this other group of people, trying to get away from the Wicked Witch of the East kind of type movie. I don't know. I was just really bored with it. I mean, 2 hours and 20 minutes later, I was just, did not feel that way at the end of The Bourne Supremacy. And, I would love to tell you the end of that, or excuse me, The Bourne Ultimatum. I would love to tell you the end of that movie, but I'm not going to. I won't do it to you. So, Harry Potter, yawn. Definitely, if you have kids, let them see it. You're going to get bored. Now, how about a little odd news? How about one woman and 10 husbands? This is for real, folks. Her name is Eunice Lopez, and she's been charged with bigamy. Well, sometime during the year 2000 and 2006, this lady married 10 men. And this, of course, is according to the Federal Immigration Authorities. She arrived in South Florida from Cuba in 2002. She was a legal U.S. resident. She really was. But I guess she was the marrying type. Anyway, she got released on an $18,000 bond, and she's going to go to court. 10 husbands. Can you imagine that? What's going on in San Francisco? This is a weird one. Officials in North Carolina School District are going to pay some families, actually 5 of them, $95,000. Now, why? This can only happen in San Francisco. Because the parents went to court after a student was disciplined for wearing Winnie the Pooh cartoon characters on her socks. Weird? Yeah, you better believe it's getting weird. Why? And it's because the school itself had some sort of weird policy that kids could only wear solid color clothing. It's just bizarre. I mean, how much control do we insist on exerting over people? This is getting too strange. Hey, you want to go to Oslo, Norway? Now, if you go to Oslo and you happen to get a parking ticket, this has actually happened. Apparently, there was a glitch in the system. So in Oslo, Norway, if you get a parking ticket, it's automatically deducted from your bank account. Amazing, huh? Well, I mean, Oslo, Norway, obviously, it's not a republic. But, yeah, you get a parking ticket, it automatically gets deducted. Well, there was a glitch in the system. Some people had between $37,000 and $148,000 deducted. They did fix the system. One gal said she tried to buy some groceries and her card was rejected because the account was overdrawn. Yeah, I'm sure. Ouch. Land O'Lakes, Florida. That is today, folks. On Sunday in Central Florida, there was a tornado, and apparently it did some mega major damage, overturning vehicles and all kinds of stuff. Bad situation. Well, do we have a time to get onto the TNT board? I got a couple of minutes here. Let me see if I can. We're out of time. Well, folks, we are out of time. Sorry about that. I got kind of carried away. The producer says I got to sign off. So, thank you for listening. And I wish all of you a wonderful day. That's a wrap, Don.